Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you very much, Laura, for leading us again. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. And this will be the last message. So through the summer, we've been dabbling in the long view of life and how practical that is. That is God's way of looking at everything from the beginning to the end. And we as those who want to be Christ followers must enter into that long view. And part of the very practical significance of it is when we have the long view from Genesis to Revelation and everything that God is doing, what we can see in the past is track record that's so encouraging, and what we see in the future that said, like, there is light at the end of the tunnel. I thought that the hymn that we just sang, that, you know, the shadows are growing, deathbeds are coming. It is predictable. It just is, you know. We live in a real world. But it's the issue of being able to go home. And I can't tell you the number of people who are believers when I've been in the hospital room or they're in their own home and they're dying, and talking with people in nursing homes, and they say, like, I don't know why God's keeping me around, and in a sense, the only thing I have to look forward to is going home. And what an encouragement, because God has placed eternity in the human heart, and we want to do that. I think as I start this morning, I'd like to read chapter 4 and verse 1 again. My brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. And for me, this time together this morning, I would join in with Paul and say, well, this is my attitude toward you. In our Bible time together, it is that we're all here as part of a community and as a part of a church family. And it's for the purpose of encouragement and being uplifting and standing firm in the Lord. Every Bible time has a practical outcome. It is just not for here. It is from here to here to here. And part of Paul's big issue is he wants us to stand firm in the Lord. And so this morning when we start, you could really start in this verse to get focus. And he wants us to stand with the Lord. He wants us to stand in the Lord. He wants us to stand by the Lord, for the Lord, with a confident mind, with a heart that's fully alive, and with an attitude and with the obedience of joy and peace on our faces, with a resolve in our spirits. And because of this, we are living proof of what Jesus said when he said, I come that you might have life and have it to the full. I was sharing this with someone before the service. I just want to be fully alive. And it doesn't mean just physically and emotionally, but it means alive on the inside spiritually, so that Jesus in me is Jesus through me. And no matter where I am and what I do not want to hide my light under a bushel. I want to let it shine. And this is Jesus' will for all of us. And so when Paul has this great motivation in writing to us today to stand in the Lord, yeah, it's stand with him, I stand by him, I stand for him. I exude from my personality the fact that Jesus changes a life. And this is what God wants for us. So it means that we're standing in righteousness. And last week we talked about being freed from the strongholds, those mental arguments and debates and excuses that we often put up around ourselves not to let Jesus near. And Jesus very patiently stands at the door and he knocks and he says, if you'll open the door, I will come in. And so he doesn't force himself upon us. But rather, he's looking for us to voluntarily surrender ourselves, surrender our body, that means the whole personality, so that we can have fellowship and walk together in this journey on planet Earth. So this is what we come to here. In chapter 3, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, is sort of Paul's testimony. And he talks about his stronghold in the first few verses in the chapter, from about verse 4 down to the end of about verse 6. And it was really that he was so religious and so focused in his religion that he kept Jesus out. And it wasn't until Acts chapter 9 where Jesus confronted him and showed him that he indeed was the Messiah and he was Lord that Paul changed the direction of his life. And that's part of what I'm talking about, because before that change, Paul was not homeward bound. But we read here in verse 14, if you pick out this little statement here, God has called me heavenward. So he is homeward bound. In some respects, in this passage, what he's saying is, who will go with me? And so we see the change of direction happening in Paul, and he wants us to go along. Let me make this statement, because this is important to the whole fact of what we're talking about this morning. It would go something like this, and you could even write it down if you want and say Bill Terrace did it. He gets all royalties from it and everything, but it goes like, our vision of the future influences our management of the present. Our vision of the future influences our management of the present. In other words, what I see or what we see determines what we do. Let me throw something in your future. The word Christmas. Right? It is presently 86 days, 12 hours, and 17 minutes away. But who's thinking about it? You are, and you are. Christmas is coming. Our business meeting is coming on October the 10th. The Christmas Bazaar is coming in November. Maybe you have a building project that needs to come before snowfall. We have a future. And whatever we see in that future determines what we do now. So what are we being called to do now? Well, what we are really doing is managing our time. And we're planning. And we're making efforts. And we're thinking about the money. And we're also thinking about, okay, I got to shop or I'm going to drop. Or I need to do some trip planning. And I need to guard my energy. And what about family time together? You see what happens? Whatever I'm anticipating in the future influences where I'm at right now. And so Paul's direction changed. God has called me heavenward. And for every believer who's received Christ, God has called us heavenward. And that influences how I live right now. And so this is the gist of what we're just going to mention in a few minutes here. Let me mention two or three things. Number one, homeward bound involves a focus. And that's what we read this morning. Well, that's from 10 to 14, actually. We did this last week. When Paul basically, it comes down to two things. The issue that Paul came to know Christ and he received righteousness. And now Paul wants to be like Jesus and he wants to be with Jesus. I also noted these two statements. Look at verse 12. Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's a reality. He woke Paul up. He took hold of his life. Verse 14. God has called me heavenward. So Paul recognizes this change of focus. He came to know Jesus, he was accepted in Christ, and now his focus was to know him and be like him. And really what we're talking about in verse 12, he sort of mentions this, is spiritual maturity. Because that's what being like Jesus is all about. And he says there, not that I've already arrived, but I am pressing on toward that maturity. This is what he wants for himself, though he's not there yet. And so God's purpose for Paul motivated him to intentionally and even strenuously press on toward that goal and that prize. So the goal and the prize in this text of Scripture are the same thing. The goal is to be like Jesus, but that's also my prize. Because as I reach that maturity, what a prize that is. When in our lives, we are like Jesus and we know the freedom of living away from sin and the freedom of living in righteousness. And we come to the point, like in Hebrews 1:9, it says that he was anointed with the oil of joy above his brothers because he loved righteousness and he hated wickedness. And so we come in our lives to that time when we are so mature in Christ and we're growing up and we're not perfect yet, but boy, I'm not what I used to be, but I am heading in that direction, that I have the joy of the Lord in my heart, that I am beaming on the inside, and that can't help but coming out. This was Paul's focus, to be a representative of Jesus and to do it through personal experience as well as obedience. And so when he says, I press toward the mark, it's the picture of a runner, a foot runner, looking at the prize, and he's so focused. He's so determined. He even will be disciplined. I want to be like Jesus, that he doesn't get distracted. He doesn't look back at those behind him. His primary concern is himself. And Paul is saying, this is what I want to do. And this is where I'm going. God has called me heavenward right now. It's not waiting for heaven there. It's right now. I am heavenward, and my focus is on what is important to God. So this is God's purpose for him. And in verses 15 and 16, so important. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too will God make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And I think what he's saying here is, are you with me? I know where I'm focused, but are you with me? And all of us there are discovering that what Paul had as a focus in being homeward bound is God's will for every one of us as a believer. Every one of us need to understand that this is God's good and perfect will for us, and we need to pursue it. And so homeward bound does include a focus. Not to stand firm, chapter 4 and verse 1, means, or to stand firm means this, that we have a focus that involves understanding that the past success does not remove the necessity of present striving. And every runner knows that. You may have come 3.5 miles and you didn't stumble. But if you're not attentive to pressing on and keeping that focus, you can glance that way or that way and you can stumble and you can fall. And every one of us as believers know that. We may have been on the road 10, 20, 80 years, and some of the greatest tragedies in Scripture weren't in the younger years of Solomon and David and others, but they were there in those later years when they were moving along and somewhat coasting, and they had everything, and then they let down their guard, and they messed up. We don't want to do that. We want to keep that focus, and being homeward bound means being homeward bound right now. Secondly, homeward bound involves following. And that starts here about verse 15. First of all, we need to be mindful of the good example set before us. Verse 17. Join others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. So many of the people at that time had watched Paul's life. They had been taught by Paul. They saw his example, his pattern, the mold that he set before them. They were convinced that Paul knew what it meant to have eternal life, but also to have life to the full. And Paul just says, be imitators of me. Have the same focus I am to become spiritually mature, because this is God's will, so you need to press forward in this. But he mentions others who aren't doing that. When he says here, for as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is to their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. So, he is not talking about the heathen here. Because those who do not know Jesus nor care to know Jesus make choices. And that wouldn't hurt Paul as much as the group that he mentions here do. Neither are they like the Judaizers who want, well, they're like Paul used to be. They want us to adhere to such religious forms and ceremonies and rites that they have such a legalistic approach that they have no heart. And Paul had no heart as a Judaizer, though he was well-educated, had a great heritage, was quoting the Bible, and he was also killing Christians. You know, there's a breakdown here. So part of the issue is, it wasn't the heathen nor the Judaizers. Whoever it was that caused such emotional hurt for Paul that it would bring him to tears had to be someone closer. And many commentators believe that these are people who were associated with the church in Philippi, who had the biblical teaching about being forgiven, having eternal life, and then they heard about the tremendous liberty that we have to live for Jesus, but they use that liberty as a reason, as an excuse, and even as a license to live as they saw fit. And so they weren't paying any attention to the focus to be like Jesus that Paul just spoke about. They were still focusing on earthly things. They were not heaven bound. And these people, you can just imagine it. And if you're a Sunday school teacher, or you've worked with kids or teens, or you're a pastor, and you've worked with someone for 5, 10 years, and they just walk away from the Lord, they don't have the same focus that we presented them with, and that we taught, and that we lived before them. How many tears are shed when after all that time, effort, work, and the life that you poured into an individual, and they walk. And it's not like the example of Paul, but it's like the example that's a very bad one of these people. It's interesting because he mentions here in verse 19 that they were on very shaky ground. And he speaks here of the fact of their self-centeredness, their sensualness, and that doesn't mean just sexuality. It means there are people who operate on feelings versus what does God say in His Word. And whenever you see a believer that's always wanting to get the experience of feeling a high, and, oh, I just love being there, and I think it's good to go fellowship there too because it's so exciting, and be careful. Because often it is all about feeling good, whether or not you're following truth. And so they want to get everybody together and let's just have a hug in and let's feel good. And so Paul says that these type of people are actually enemies of the cross of Christ. In other words, they have no sense of surrender to Christ as Lord alone, no sense of sacrifice, no sense of service. They are earthly versus having an eternal focus. So Paul says, I have a focus. Will you go with me? But in going with me, that is following something. We all follow something. You'll either follow Paul's focus or we will follow these other types of bad examples. One of the things that comes to me is this. We need to be very clear. Evaluating where one's heart and body is regarding heavenward living is easily measured. This is not pie in the sky. Well, how could all this be? Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Just flip the page, actually, a couple pages here. And this is so clear. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul again writing, since then you have been raised with Christ. In other words, you claim to have received Jesus as Savior. You take all the benefits of His death, burial, and resurrection to be your very own. You have the possession of heaven. And your sins are forgiven, and all the joys of the future are anticipated. Since you have been raised with Christ, now look what he says. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. It's like we're homeward bound here. Now we need to be thinking about it right now. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So that's the homeward bound perspective. We're heading for the promised land. What a day it will be when my Jesus I will see. But if that is our mindset, then that is our future that has an influence on my present management of what I do. And he goes on now to talk in very practical terms what it means not to live from an earthly fashion, but from an eternal mindset. Very clear. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these things in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self, which is his practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of him who is the creator. So Paul said in Philippians, I've changed the direction. I've been called heavenward. And what heavenward means is you don't live according to the old sinful nature. You say no to those things. Romans chapter 6. But he says here in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against the other. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And he just keeps going. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since you are members of one body and you were called to peace. And be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and on and on. It is easy to measure whether or not in my thinking and in my obedience and in my pressing on and my purpose in life, I am truly homeward bound. Because I just need to look at what my body is doing. Is my body letting the old nature rule? Or is my body letting the new nature, with Christ's help, rule? I have a choice. It's not pie in the sky. Measure it. Take a look at ourselves. This is what it's all about. So Paul presents for us not just a focus, but he's saying you need to have a following. Homeward bound means you're following something, but it means following Jesus. And we're not in the dark as to what that looks like now. We just read that in Colossians chapter 3. Just to finish off, I would say this. Homeward bound includes the finish. And that's really where we're headed. Because here he says, down in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. We have already been approved. If we put our faith in Jesus, we've been accepted in the Beloved, who is Jesus. We've taken all the benefits of His work and His death, burial, and resurrection to be our very own. I want that for me, Jesus. I put my faith in You. And we're given now that forgiveness, that eternal life, the perspective of looking forward to going home, because heaven is the home of the righteous. That's what the Apostle Peter said. And so the very fact is that because my citizenship right now is in heaven, because I am a believer, Peter calls my journey here on planet Earth as being something where I'm an alien. This is not my home. I have a passport for there. I'm going home. I'm a sojourner here. That's the old King James Version. I'm a sojourner for a time, but this ain't my home. I'm homeward bound. And so for the believer, it's our focus. We're going to follow through because that's where we're going. And it is going to be finished. It is going to come about. And indeed, Paul says, we eagerly await from there a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. And so this is our anticipation. We eagerly wait. And this is the increased perspective of a person who gets tired with planet Earth. We might say again that there is a track record happening here. We eagerly await a Savior, that same Savior who has delivered us from the penalty of sin. And He has delivered us day by day if we surrender to Him to the power of sin. One day He will deliver us from the very presence of sin. I live and you live in a broken world. And you just have to watch the news and you're convinced more and more things are getting worse and worse, exactly as the Scriptures say. But the bottom line is, I am homeward bound. And some people have said the worst that they could ever do to me is kill me. Because according to John chapter 11, 26 and 27, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives in me and believes in me will never die. The bottom line is, Christians never die. We just take a step into eternity, and we're homeward bound. This is going to happen. Because of this, we rejoice. I ran into this verse a few weeks ago when we talked about sin. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. We were at one point in bondage to the law of sin and death. It was predictable. But through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, it set me free from the law of sin and death. And so sin and death need to have no further hold on me. The law of the Spirit of life is I allow the Holy Spirit to so work in my heart and life that through obedience to the Scripture, I mature, my focus is realized, I become more like Jesus, I hate sin, I live for righteousness, I'm homeward bound. And I become the type of person that God wants to shine like mad on planet Earth, no matter where I am and what I do, whom I'm around. Remember, Paul, in writing this book, is sitting in a Roman prison. And he still has focus, and he's still following, and he knows it will be finished. It doesn't matter where you are, but it matters who we're with. And so we talk today about the fact that a tremendous transformation will take place when God, and it will be His doing, God will transform us into being like Jesus by His sovereign power. I like 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we would be called the sons of God. And we do not know exactly what we will be, but this we know, that when He comes, I will be like Him. And everyone who has this hope for the future in Him will purify himself even as He is pure. And this is the reason why the long view of a secure future, homeward bound, is so important. Because if I forget where my home is, I will probably dabble with a lack of focus. I'll follow bad examples, and I will not finish well when it comes to my time being received to my Lord. It's so important that we as believers understand that when I see the future, it influences my present. What am I doing right now? Chuck Swindoll said it this way. While Jesus is preparing that place for us, Jesus is preparing us for that place. And so we know what our focus needs to be. And we know who we're to be following. And part of the issue is we want to finish well. This is what God wants us to do. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Are you with me? This is what Paul's saying. And I trust that we're able to affirm that I am homeward bound. I hope that you've settled that through faith in Jesus. But even if you have, then being homeward bound is a present mindset that transforms our motivation. And I press on to maturity until I'm home. May God help us to keep this long view all the time so that life on planet Earth will indeed be life to the full. Let's take our closing hymn together because it reflects on this. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, that beautiful city of gold. Let's stand together as we sing. So just a reminder to look at the cards from the kids at kids camp in the summer. And men, please sign up for that breakfast we're having on the 20th. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you'll ingrain within our minds and our hearts that sense of marching. That which is focused and intentional, that is not distracted, but is marching toward home. We pray that the very fact that these things to the believer, eternal life, are a reality, that will so cater to how we think about present life, that we will not be disheartened, but that we will stand upright in the Lord, for Him, by Him, with Him, being good representatives of Jesus. We need your help in Christ's name.